Every application that I've sent in for these schools, that's what I've said. I said, your school is a shithole.
But you're in luck.
Yeah, you're in luck. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the porch. I have turned the light on, and I'm here with Brian.
What's up, Andy?
I am doing well.
We got our swing going.
Yeah, a porch swing. We've got the bug zapper. We've got, what are the things that you would want to have on a porch?
I would like to have nice all-weather tires on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have like one of those novelty car horns.
Yeah. How many cup holders does your porch need to have?
It's all cup holders.
All cup holders.
You know how like they say, why don't you make the plane out of what the black box is made out of? Why don't you make the car out of what the cup holders are made out of?
That's a good point, because you never see a cup holder wrecked.
No.
Every time I've looked on the side of the road and seen just horrific porch accidents, I don't see any cup holders.
There's always the cup holders. It's like cup holders, rats, and cockroaches are going to be what's left.
That's... Cup holders are like perfect sizes for rats too, I feel like.
Oh, by the way, I have beef with cup holders.
Oh, here we go.
Because maybe this is my problem, but I feel like whenever I'm, first of all, it's mostly car cup holders, but also when I golf, because there's always cup holders in the golf cart. My water bottle never fits anywhere. I don't feel like I have a ginormous water bottle. It's a Camelback. It's not huge.
Okay.
It never fits in anything. I'm always like leaning it on something, hoping it won't fall out.
It is. I mean, I sympathize with cup. Okay. I appreciate your beef. I respect your beef. I see your beef. And that is, your beef is the your lived experience.
Yes.
If you're making cup holders, though, it is tough because you can't make them too big.
True.
Now, what happens if you have a San Pellegrino can of pop and you have a big cup holder? That thing's going to be flying all over the fucking place.
Yeah, because then you'd have to like take the foil off, open it, drink some, and then put the foil back on like it's leftovers.
Exactly. Once the foil comes off, it's not coming back on.
No. That's what that's the old saying about the foil coming off.
That is frustrating. I have a few coffee cups that are like too big. Not coffee cups, but like coffee mugs that are too big for cup holders, and it's annoying.
I'm thinking more about it though, and I know when you mentioned coffee, maybe it is my fault because a lot of times they're tapered, like a coffee mug. They'll have the bottom be smaller, and mine is just a giant old same size cylinder of water. So maybe that was my fault.
Like all the way, is it a clear plastic?
Yeah.
Okay. I know what you mean. Those are, I mean,
it's
those
like a
are
neoprene, or
standard.
is
Yeah.
neoprene the main brand of those? Like, I think it is.
I think Aspergream.
Or no, nail.
Nalgene?
What am I? Yeah, Nalgene. There you go.
Got it.
What is neoprene? Is that like a lotion of some kind?
I don't know. Listeners
well,
at
I hope
home,
it's not bad.
Tell us what neoprene is.
Yeah.
It's going to turn out that it's something like really weird, and then people are going to say, like, why does Brian even know what that is? You're
Oh,
in
God.
trouble.
That's
You've been
the danger.
canceled.
That's the danger of having no net on this podcast.
Yeah. If we do any editing to this podcast, I'll look up what neoprene is. I'll give you a heads up if you should or shouldn't know what that is. Actually, I got in trouble the other week. I'm gonna try not to continually back up this story, but Maggie and I, we have two kids. We've become what I believe are idiots. I don't know if it's because we're tired all the time or what it is, but we played Trivial Pursuit. Maggie got Trivial Pursuit for Christmas from my brother, I think.
Is it the wait? I have to ask a question. I'm sorry to mess up your
No, go for it.
mojo already. Is it the class? Which version is it? Is it like the
Classic
original?
edition. I
Okay.
think it's a classic edition. And at first we were worried, like, oh, have we read these questions before? Because we have a few versions of Trivial Pursuit. We used to play it like on a semi-regular basis, but I don't know that we have played it even once since we had kids. So first time in 4 or 5 years, we opened it up. It took us 3 nights to play a full game of Trivial Pursuit. We just got, and toward the end, it was just like, please get this right. Do I need to give you a hint? Like
The
emphasizing
hardest
the
one,
words of
though.
it is, I apparently it's the hardest. We really were sucking it up. But the one that got me in trouble was, and this was for a piece of pie. If it was not for a piece of pie, I probably just would have said, I don't know who this is. But the question was, what model became famous from the music video for Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines?
Oh yeah.
And I said, I'm probably not going to get her last name right, but her name is Emily Ratajkowski. And Maggie was like, why do you know who that is? I've never even heard of that person.
Babylonia.
And I said, well, she's topless in the video. Like, that's
So you
why the
had to know
video's
her name.
famous. I had to. But anyway, that was like my first piece of pie. And we
Wait,
did
so
not
if
talk for the rest of
Wait a
the
minute. So let me get this right. So if that had just been a normal question, you would have think got something wrong.
I don't know, maybe. But for a piece of pie, I
Yeah,
can't,
you're
as
right.
hard as this game was, I could not pass up any opportunity.
That's true. I don't think though, I don't think that you guys should feel dumb because Lisa and I have been doing Sporkle quizzes. While we're like sitting there watching the Bulls game, I'll have my laptop and we're doing Sporkle quizzes. And there was a series that I found where it was somebody just made quizzes. I think they were British because there was a lot of like Shakespeare plays and things were spelled with British English spellings. But it would be like just the letter of the alphabet. So like the S game, and it would have a bunch of categories that all started with S. And it'd be like countries, US capitals, Shakespeare plays, elements, all these things. And we would do something where there's like a ton of options, and we'd be sitting there, we'd be like Slovenia, Slovakia, Spain, and then we'd be like, there's like 50 blank countries. We're just like, I don't know anymore. Like, for some reason, trying to think of those when you know like just the letter is very difficult. I don't know if I'm just dumb or if that's like a normal thing,
No,
but
honestly, I'm not good at those either. Like, maybe if something clicks, I could get on a roll. But I also feel like with those games, if you have one question where you kind of feel dumb, it's a little bit like golf or maybe some other sports where, like, you can go down a bad path. And then all of a sudden, you don't have any confidence anymore. And, like, every question you will bomb after that.
yeah, that's like when I played golf with my dad this year, and we played in Oak Brook, and the first hole ran along the road, and I hit two balls into the middle of traffic. So that was it. After that, I was like, I'm not going to do anything today. I just killed two people, possibly.
I think you should be able to kill a third.
I mean, I tried, but
Yeah.
I don't know if they worked, but you're definitely right about that. It happens with golf.
Can I ask you who is? I don't know why I thought about this. I think it's because it's about you hitting golf balls into traffic and that, being bad for your fellow neighbors in the area. There's obviously, if you live on a golf course too, that's you got to be careful.
Oh,
It's
yeah,
not
I've
good to
hit
be
many
hit with a
houses.
golf ball. And so I thought about neighbors and I thought about bad neighbors. And I heard a story. We went over to visit some friends who we hadn't seen in a little bit. They were part of our centering group for when Maggie was pregnant with Elena. So this was like 5 years ago. But they moved to the neighborhood last year, or like the relative neighborhood. And they have the worst neighbor I've ever heard of, like comically bad. And it made me grateful that our neighbors are pretty good. We know most of them and we mostly mind our business. But like, if we can count on them if we need something. And if some of our neighbors have even said, like, they'll pick up a package for us, or they'll say, this hasn't come up, but like, if we had to drop off the kids for whatever reason and leave the country, I don't know, that they would take them.
Yeah, which is nice.
But they had a neighbor who is constantly stealing their compost bin, is leaf blowing leaves into their driveway immediately after they have cleaned their own driveway.
Oh my God.
They've egged their car. They've smeared other dirt on their car. They've had way too many dogs. Like, you're not, I think in Oakland, you're actually not supposed to have more than three. And they've had like 8 or 12.
Whoa.
And apparently they've been barking like all the time.
Yikes.
And one of them works, one of our friends works from home. It's like
Oh, yeah.
really
That would be
annoying.
terrible. Yeah.
There was just like a laundry list of things. I can't even remember all of them. And
They did all this is unprovoked. Like, there's no conflict that they knew of. Like, who would egg somebody's car?
I don't, I think the person probably has some type of personality disorder or
Oh,
something. I like,
okay.
I don't know. And it's an older, not way older, but like a person in their 60s or something like that.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe the stories that I was hearing. They even got like a restraining order.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing. That's what we get anxiety whenever a house goes up for sale on our block, because we're like, oh, who's gonna move in here? Like, because we kind of like our neighbors, or either like or have no conflict with. So it's like anytime somebody new comes, it's like, uh-oh, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, I don't really think about that all that much. I mean, like we do have apartments and they actually don't shift all that much. But yeah, maybe I should think about that more, 'cause it really, like, it's just not occurred to me how like disruptive or terrible your neighbor could be.
I would argue that you have the better approach to this, because it's not worth worrying about because it's out of your control. But I think it's because we had such terrible neighbors when we used to live in an apartment, and that's in the same building, so it like made it just a lot more annoying.
That being like your last apartment.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah, I think.
there was a I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a family that lived in the top unit of like a three flat. We were in the basement. And they were, it was like almost like a TV show, like the kind of stuff that would happen. The cops were there like weekly. They knew them by name.
Ugh.
They were dealing drugs out of the apartment. They
Ugh.
had, it was just a comedy of errors. And then I once got my hair cut like three towns away, and I was telling the person cutting my hair about this, because it had something especially terrible had just happened with that. And she knew them. She was like, "Is that the so and so's?" And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, I know them. I'm like, what? They're like notorious for the area, apparently. It was
Huh.
crazy. But that's in the same building, so that's totally different. Like, this is houses we're talking about, so.
Yeah, I mean, we had in this place, we had some drug dealers across the street, but they left. And since then, everybody's been kind of fine.
Yeah, that's good. It can be very
Yeah.
disruptive, though, because you just. It like takes up too much mental real estate, at least for me. It's like, 'cause you can't get away from it, you know, like it's
Yeah, and
just.
there's really, I think in a lot of cases, not that much you can do. And they were saying like, the Oakland police don't have like the best reputation for being responsive. So they'll say like, you can call the police about something. They might show up a few days later. Who knows when they'll show up? If you're not home, you might have to file like another police report if the initial one goes stale. Like, so like that has not been helpful. But yeah, you want to have good
That's
neighbors.
you do. It's very important. That's why you should. I heard somebody give a tip of like, because for me, honestly, what people do in their house, I don't couldn't care less. But like, the only thing is, if there's really loud stuff that would just be annoying all day, that's like my main thing that I would hate. So that people have said, if you're considering moving into a neighborhood, you should drive there like at multiple times of the day if it's possible, just to see like what's going on. Like
Yeah.
that gives you kind of an idea of like. Is it going to be insane? Is it always kind of the same? Like, whatever. I feel like that's pretty good advice if you're moving.
It's funny, like our real estate agent when we bought our place did recommend that we visit our place at night because the neighborhood is like, it's a little dicey. It's not too bad. But so we did, and it seemed okay. I think what we didn't realize is that there's a lot of dead end streets around here. And so the street that we live on is like one of the main, more main thoroughfares than we thought, especially for foot traffic to go to like a convenience store. So there's just a lot of people walking. And then the corner, because we live on a corner, is just people sometimes just like lean against our fence or sit against our fence. And I didn't know this, but it actually says that, not in the inspection, it says it's somewhere that I never read about our house before we bought it. It has like a just a cast, like a throwaway term that's like, You're gonna get some sitters. Gotta be some fence sitters and
There,
wieners.
Arrested Development, when they drive the stair car,
Oh
you're
yeah.
gonna get some hop-ons.
Gotta get some hop on. How could you not? If you're driving a stair car at a slow, I would hop on.
Oh yeah, just to see where is it, what's happening with this thing.
Yeah. It's
I can't believe that you're gonna get some
gotta get some
leaners,
leaders, yeah.
you're gonna get some fence
It never
leaners.
bothers me as long as people are not like shouting.
Yeah, exactly, that's how I
Yeah.
feel about it.
Because
At
there is
that.
something about our house, like if you are shouting on that corner, seems to go right through our walls.
Oh, okay. I had another thing come into my head from that old apartment, which is just like a treasure trove of stories. But we want—I don't know
Ooh.
if I've ever told you—but we once had a dude that just like passed out in our stairway,
Nice.
and he was like, I don't know what he was on. He was on something. He could have just been extremely drunk, but I feel like it was something more intense than that. And I remember because Lisa went to take Chavo outside, and she was just like, she just came back in immediately and was like, "What?" Like she saw a ghost, and she's like, There's a guy like sleeping between here and the outside. And I was like, okay, I guess I should go investigate.
So it was specifically because you were kind of in the basement. So specifically at your stairwell.
Well, he was laying like, so we had to go up a small flight of stairs to get to the front door that went outside. And he
Yeah.
was laying on the next flight of stairs to go to the next level, but he was laying so that his like feet were in front of the outside door.
So you couldn't even open it?
No, you couldn't open it.
Oh, wow. That's, well,
So she
you.
saw feet and was like, just immediately came back in and told me. And I was like, I didn't wanna. I mean, it was closer to when I was a bouncer, so I was like, I was used to like dealing with this kind of situation. So I wasn't like freaked out or anything. I was just like annoyed that I had to deal
Yeah.
with it. So I went out there and I was like, I had to like literally shake him. And he finally was like, hey. I was like, can I, do you need help with something or like whatever? And he was like, oh, I'm just waiting for the somebody and my friend, he's on the top floor or something like that. It was the family that lived on the top floor. I'm like, can you wait outside? I'm like, this is a private residence, like, you know, we have things that we're trying to do here, like could you wait outside or like see if they're there? And
Yeah.
he was like coherent enough to answer my questions, but like very out of it. And I was just like,
Yeah.
he just kept talking, kept stalling, and I finally was like, I don't really care what you're doing, just go outside, please. He finally just like went outside and sat there. And I was like, okay,
At
that's enough
some
for me.
point, that's like the way that we deal with our children. Like, well, Elena specifically, because she'll talk up a storm and she'll try to negotiate and she'll just kind of like, at some point, we have to do the same thing. Like, you just need to do this thing. Can you just do this thing?
You're saying having a child is like dealing with a drunk person in a stairwell?
I mean, we do give her a fair amount of alcohol.
So that's why.
Yes. She still, I would say, does not handle it particularly well, but she's getting better.
She's getting there. Okay. Well, that's good. You're getting her accustomed to the world at a young
Yeah.
age.
No, you gotta. I don't want her to be some kind of sucker by the time she's in kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly. She'll get
Yeah.
taken advantage of by those wily kindergartners.
That is, we are rounding the corner on the process now. So we have to submit, because Elena's going to kindergarten next year. We have to submit our top five public schools in Oakland that we want her to go to. We applied to a couple of private schools too to see if we could get like financial aid for them. And we're finally at the point where we're just about done. We finished all of our tours. Elena has to do one more like play date at one of those schools next week. But after that, we're done. We've like submitted everything, and now we just wait on the public schools to see which one we get.
Okay.
And then see if she gets into one of the private schools and if we get some money there. But it's like we're finally there. Like we probably visited 25 schools.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I only visited three when I went to college.
I'm trying to think. For college, I applied to nine schools, and I think I did visit DePaul.
Yeah.
I visited University of Chicago. I'm trying. I think I visited. Where else did I even apply?
I
I think.
visited U of I, Marquette, and DePaul.
Okay. Yeah, I think I, because I applied to some schools in Massachusetts, but I never visited them.
Which ones? Out of curiosity.
MIT and Clark University.
Oh.
I got into Clark. I did not get into MIT. There's
Okay.
no chance of getting into MIT. Or no, actually, it wasn't even MIT. It was holy crap, I don't even remember where I applied. I think I applied to
Oh,
Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, not
okay.
MIT in Massachusetts.
Isn't that like a medical school, or is they just have a lot of people that do pre-med there?
It might be a lot of people doing pre-med, which even makes it a worse fit for me.
I just remember I went to U of I and I was like, you have to take a bus between buildings, and I was just like, no, this is too much corn
Yeah.
and buses for me. Like, I don't want this.
I do like, say what you want about like DePaul, but I love that campus. I
Oh,
think
it's
it's great.
great. I literally did, as soon as I visited and walked around, I was like, I'm done. Like, this is where I want to go.
I definitely, even though I didn't go to DePaul initially, I felt that way when I did visit it. I was like, this place just feels great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does when you when Elena does she do the public schools give you enough notice on the choice for you to like pick one of the private schools if you prefer it? Like, how does that work with timing and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
So here was our biggest concern. The public school near us is, I mean, I'm sure it's got its good qualities, but we just don't really care for it. It's like a
Oh,
block
okay.
away, which it would be awesome if it was a really good school, but it's not.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why we applied to a couple of private schools in the first place, was we're not guaranteed at all to get any of the other public schools that we'd rather have. So what we were worried about is that most of the private schools, you have to turn in the applications before the public schools. And we thought, incorrectly as it turns out, that the private schools would notify us earlier and we would have to make a decision earlier, which would be hard because it's like,
Yeah, you wouldn't have all the info.
right, we would want to know if we are going to get a public school we wanted or not. And we're like almost certain she's going to go to a public school. But it turns out we actually find out from the public schools slightly before the private schools, which is great. So if
Okay.
we're stuck with our neighborhood school, maybe we can luck out with one of the private schools and get some money there. Or if we get, one of the better public schools, then we know we just don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter what the private schools say.
Or if none of them work out, she just skips school and gets the job.
The other thing that I'm thinking is, why not? I don't think she's quite ready for a job until maybe first grade, but why don't we homeschool her for kindergarten?
Yeah, there you go.
We watched this really great documentary on, I think it was on Netflix, maybe. And the Duggar family?
No.
Do
Oh,
you
wait. Were they on like one of those reality shows?
19 and Counting.
Okay.
And they're like pretty Christian, fundamentalist or something like that. And they
That sounds
homeschool
good
all
so
their
far.
kids. And there is a specific like Christian fundamentalist homeschooling program. I think we're going to do that.
It sounds foolproof to me.
If it means that we can get on reality TV,
Does
why
it come
not?
with like a bunch of ammunition? Because that's what you need if you're going to be a Christian fundamentalist. You need lots of ammo.
Lots of ammo. I think it does come from ammunition for the heathens. Vocal ammunition, of course.
Vocal, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this plan. That at least for a bridge year until she could start working.
I think so.
Yeah.
We already tell her almost every day what is her plan for our retirement. She has not like had very good answers.
That before or after you give her a drink?
Before, and then we give her a
Okay.
drink, and then we ask her again. And until she gives us a good answer, she gets stopped drinking.
This
Even
reminds
joking.
me.
We don't sound like very good parents.
It's we're. I think it's great because this reminds me of. I think it's on Mr. Show, but it's probably another sketch show. They had a sketch where, like, the two people playing the parents were betting with their son, who was played by like an adult actor. He had racked up like a $2 billion bet, like tab with all the bets. They were just like, "Son, when are you gonna pay us back?" And it was like they just had it go on for a really long time. And I think that's what this is like.
It's a little bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. By the time next time we record, maybe we'll know what school Elena's going to. Maybe
Yeah,
not.
and in all seriousness, I hope she gets a good school that she likes.
I hope so too. I don't ever want to go in with that. Like, it's her special daughter. She's got all these unique needs and she's her own, and but she is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
And I
of
don't
course.
want to go her to go to a bad school.
No.
So We'll see what happens.
you know, she could, maybe if the school is bad, she lifts the level up enough that she makes it awesome. You never know.
She could. I think that's every application that I've sent in for these schools, that's what I've said. I've said, your school is a shithole.
But you're in luck.
Yeah. So far, they haven't like received that kind of language particularly well.
Because you signed it from Elena, so they thought she was writing
Yeah. She's like, boy, she's got bad handwriting for a 5-year-old.
an ego on her.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right, I think it is time to turn the porch light off. Actually, you know what would be a funny running joke? If we could never smoothly deliver that line ever. If it just seems bizarre and awkward every time we do
So the time has arrived, that old fateful time when the switch goes down and we start
it. Yeah.
drinking some wine.
In all honesty, what you just did was by far the best delivery of that line we've had so far. Yeah. All right. I have no concluding words other than to say this podcast is going to continue to be awesome, and we'll see y'all next week.
We'll be back just in time for the porch to stop swinging and we'll get it going.
Exactly. All right. Peace out.
Bye bye.